In a world where
space
was king,
they are America's first line of defense.
One man
and one man
had a dream
and found a way to bring good news to his people.
Same make, same model, new mission.
Whiskey, science,
theater.
Tim, it has been a minute.
Yeah, it has. What was our last one that we did?
Oh, gosh. Calling me out so soon. Hold on. I've got to go to Starship Troopers, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
Was the last one that we did.
That's right.
A very scientific film.
Obviously.
I think I was there on the last Starship Troopers.
Hi, Steve.
How long ago.
Yeah, and I don't think you watched. I think you knew that one, but right. You only watched the commercial for this one, I think you said.
Correct. The 30-second trailer.
Perfect. So I'm expecting some hot takes from you.
That's all you need, you know.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just excited to have you both here. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're talking Predator, and by that I mean Prey.
Prey, yeah. And it was nice of Arnold to bring us into the episode, though.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He's big on franchise continuity.
Mm-hmm.
he's a man of the people.
Yeah.
He's number one in my... Mount Rushmore of action stars. Of the big four, he's clearly my favorite.
So let's hear the other three.
The other three are, the big four were always Jean-Claude, mm-hmm. Steven Seagal, Sly, and Arnold. And I think Sly is my least favorite and that in terms of actors, and then Steven Seagal is the worst human being there is. But yeah.
This is putting you on the spot a little bit, but if you had to do like a last 20 years version of that, or last 10 years version of that.
Of those four?
No, not of those four people.
Oh,
a new,
God.
Essentially.
I was like, I got bad news.
No. A new Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Oh, a new Mount Rushmore of
recent,
action?
Of recent
of
action.
Of action, man?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean. Listen, you got to go Keanu Reeves, I think, for like at least the four spot.
I could see that.
Possibly higher. His John Wick work is... the Quad Wickening's coming out in a few mere weeks. So that I think he's in there. Really big stuff. I'm going to say you got to put Statham in there,
mm-hmm.
I think.
I could see that, yeah.
But there aren't as many big action guys. There's been guys who have been done... really good action movies. Like Chris Hemsworth has done some great stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that his body of work in the last 10 years. So, who am I? I'm sure I'm missing.
I'm sure we are.
It's just been so superhero heavy,
right?
You don't have as many big, action movies, but I'm going to ponder upon that.
Yeah. If you think of anybody, let me know.
I definitely have like a C-list action star, Mount Rushmore. And that's like Scott Atkins, Michael Jai White. And, pick any number of guys from action stars from Asia who I have an Asian Mount Rushmore of action stars. You got Ike Uwe,
a whole Asian wing,
Tony Jaa,
just like the real Mount Rushmore.
Uh-huh. Donnie Yen,
Asian version.
Yes. Well, that's where it is. They moved South Dakota.
Oh,
yeah. Little known fact.
It's in South Dakota, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I really just know it's Dakota.
Yeah, there's not much going on in North Dakota.
Where's your cookbook author gal located? Is she south or north?
She is Minnesota.
Oh, I thought she was a Dakota.
The farm girl? Yeah. She's okay. Minnesota, like near the Canada border.
Okay, that's better. That's my preferred place. Thank you.
Yeah.
Honestly, if my family, friends, and everything I know wasn't tied to St. Louis, I'd move to Wisconsin or Minnesota in a second. It's more my...
The snow and the super cold wouldn't throw you off?
Oh, that's it. It's an attraction for me.
Yeah, yeah. Summers would be nice until the bugs come out, but better than here, probably.
I would rather deal with bugs than heat.
Yeah, that's true.
I say that now because our mosquitoes here aren't the size of pterodactyls, so maybe I would change my tune right quick in a hurry.
I could see that.
Okay, Prey. This was from last year to 2022, the year of our Lord. An all-new entry in the Predator franchise set 300 years ago tells the story of a young Comanche woman, a fierce, highly skilled warrior who stalks and ultimately confronts a highly evolved alien predator with a technically advanced arsenal. Now, Tim, that was one sentence.
That's a big sentence.
And I'm going to tell you, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 commas in it.
That's aggressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
It somehow both uses and doesn't use the Oxford comma. It's honestly, I sat here staring at the sentence for a while the other night when I was watching this. Okay. Now, this is a relatively, there isn't, I'll start off by saying, I love this movie. I absolutely loved it. Excellent choice by you. But there wasn't like a whole lot of meat on the bone, but what there was excellent.
So it's funny, along those lines, and I always butcher the name of this. It's not a hard word. I just don't remember what the name was. It's Sun or Sunshine, the one where they were in space and they had to crash a
Sunshine,
bomb yeah. into the sun or whatever.
They had to restart the sun, right?
We didn't like that movie as much as this one, but it also had long stretches of just like staring into space and nothing, which I've realized translates poorly into a podcast now.
Yes, it does. But also, if you're looking at the original Predator, one of my faves, mm-hmm. which you just watched last night
to refresh my memory and all that. Yeah.
The last time I watched it, it became, for some reason, it just clicked that half of that movie is them just staring at jungle.
Yes. They do a lot of staring at the jungle, a lot of very dense underbrush, overbrush, whatever yes. the right word would be.
All the brushes.
Every brush.
Bob yeah. Ross was there.
Yeah. And Thomas, he was just fucking painting happy trees. That's all he was doing.
Happy trees and little ferns doing. With neon green blood on it.
Yeah. So that
movie had a lot of, and I get that built up the suspense, you don't know where it is.
Yeah.
But it's not the action when it's on is amazing mm-hmm. in the first one. But when that's not happening, it is very, it's a lot of middle distance staring
mm-hmm.
and it can drag at points.
Yeah.
Still love it. This one, and I think you're right, Sunshine had that problem too, but this one, it did have those moments, but it was filmed so fucking well and yep. so beautifully that I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
It was more like one of your documentaries or.
Yeah. Yeah. So the one shot that jumps out at me probably above all the other ones, outside of just the grand like scenic shots of mountaintops and whatever else, prairies, whatever, was when she was hunting, and it was a deer, a big-ass deer or something very early on, like in the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
And the shot was like, it must have been on a track or something. Like it was panning.
Oh, the parallel chase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
It was awesome. Yeah. And there were a lot of those great shots, and then wherever they shot it,
mm-hmm.
it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
A lot of cool different like land formations and different stuff. So you get these big panning shots of like over a river mm-hmm. or a plain or whatever else. And then you have the wooded area with the hills. And
yep.
This is really cool. I think for this one, normally I do a 5 minute rundown, but I think maybe go section by section.
I think that's fine.
That would work
yeah,
better.
I think that works
for this particular movie.
Yeah. And before we dive in, the only Predator that I have seen uh-huh. in the entry of the series, whatever, was the first one. And like I said, I rewatched that last night just in case there were any parallels or whatever. Uh-huh. I'm assuming you've seen more than that one.
I have seen many Predators, Tim. They so haunt my dreams.
That leads me to a question. Are there like 10 of them? Are we talking 5 total?
You're talking about like
the series,
the
like
movies or
canonical movies?
Okay, so you're not talking like how many different types of Predator we've seen.
I was
going to
get into that okay. in a minute.
In the movies we've got, in order. Release order, I guess, would be Predator. Predator 2, that was with Danny Glover, no Arnold. There, of course, then came Alien versus Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Alien versus Predator, Requiem. The first one was in Antarctica, and the second one was with a ziggurat or something. I don't know, or like a pyramid. But that one maybe was in Colorado, or maybe they both had pyramids. I don't know.
Yeah.
Those weren't very good. Then there was Predators, where they said,
like how they did Aliens.
Correct. Yeah. And they're like, who? We had Arnold, and we kind of want to get that feeling back. So who should we get to play our military badass? And of course, the answer is Adrian Brody.
Oh, right. With his big nose, right?
Yeah, yes. I remember that. And to be honest, he kicks ass in a different way.
Huh. Okay.
That was my number two best Predator movie okay. until I saw this one.
Okay.
But that one had like Danny Trejo, Walton Goggins, and like, again,
that's
like,
a good cast.
One of the guys from That 70s Show who played a real creep psychopath. Hmm. Larry Fishburne was in it. So a lot of good stuff in that one. And then there was The Predator. It's like 5 years ago. And that was that one by Robert Rodriguez maybe? Or
I don't know.
Or yeah. Anyway, that one was okay. I really liked that one because it had Olivia Munn in it, and she was a scientist and kind of nerdy hot, and I was on board for this.
Ooh, I'm an Olivia Munn fan.
I know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if
I appreciate that. So, now that I have watched the second entry, or my second entry into the series, maybe I should check that out.
So this was the seventh.
Okay.
As far as, unless I'm missing one, which I don't think I am.
Okay, and because I'm new to the series, or new to the franchise, kind of, I didn't realize there were so many different types of Predator. Obviously, you're aware, having watched most of the movies, but I'm going to just run through them real quick.
Please do.
Classic Predator.
Original Recipe
Predator. 1987. Lost Tribe Predator.
Okay.
Small Predator, or a Yautja. Is that the word?
Yes, that is apparently the name of the species.
Okay, Yautja Youngling. The Youngblood Predator.
I wish I was making that up, too. Yeah,
right. The Blooded Predator. The Elite Predator. The Elder Predator. The Super Predator. The Fugitive Predator, Thomas.
Yes.
The Assassin Predator, of course.
The Fugitive Predator hit himself in a St. Patrick's Day parade. Oh. Like the movie.
Yeah, Fugitive. Obviously.
He had a green hat on.
One-armed man.
Yes. A one-armed man killed that Predator's wife. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about your injury, Tim.
Yep.
But
and then the Feral Predator, which we is featured in this.
What movie did you watch? Yeah.
They came up with races, like different races of Predator?
Well, the like the name of the species. Like Alien, the aliens are called Xenomorphs. That's like their technical name. These are like, what do you call them? Yoju? Yangjol?
Yautja, I think.
So it's a species like dogs, like Labrador versus someone else.
There are also dog predators.
Like racism to me.
Yeah, a little. It's not sensitive. In Predators, they had dog predators, the predators had their version of hunting dogs.
Huh.
I don't know if those were predators. And then I've also heard that one of those maybe it was like. You said the mega predator, whatever.
Yeah, something.
Was maybe a predalien.
Because
I think, because these two things exist in the same universe.
Right.
That an alien will, whatever it embeds itself in and acts as the host, it will take the characteristics of that host. Which I don't really understand. Because when they did it to the humans and aliens, they didn't come out looking like, hey, I've got a bad knee. You know? But okay, we buried the lead. Tim, you're braving it out tonight. You came off the DL.
Yeah,
you're playing injured. Tim hurt his fingies, and he almost had a permanent fancy pinky finger.
Yeah, the quick summary.
If you want to share, but want to make sure people know that you're toughing through it.
The quick summary is I was trying to separate two partially thawed steaks with a butter knife. My hand slipped. And I sliced my tendon that operates my tip of my pinky finger, so I couldn't flex my pinky finger. And like Thomas said, I was in permanent pinkies out.
Yeah.
Like I'm drinking tea with my pinkies out. Had the repair 2 weeks ago, and the rehab and pain hasn't been terrible, but the rehab is awful. And I have to remain in a splint curled over or else I risk popping the repair.
Okay. So the rehab is... You have to have a bandage. You're not like, you don't have like tiny weights and like a weight.
No, montage. I do. I go to a guy.
My God.
There's no tiny weights, but I go to a guy and I have to do this, push it, hold it, and it hurts very much. And then extend it, do that.
The fact that we're not filming this and turning into a montage is.
And then I have to try to make a fist. And when I try to make a fist, it's like this.
Oh no.
Like that, kind of.
Oh.
It'll get there.
Fancy.
But so right now, it's like this.
Are you going to end up like Telly Savalas and have a digital difference?
I won't have a digital difference, but I probably will never be able to get the pinky all the way in. It'll probably end up being something like that, which is fine. Yeah. I don't punch many people, really. I don't think I've ever thrown a punch, except for maybe in football.
You
like punch, you know, like that.
I have a hard time envisioning you throwing like a right hook.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. Like, nothing against you. I just feel like you'd be like, no, I'm all good.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Also, what's going on with that watch? I saw that peeking out.
This was one I've got.
Oh, yeah.
I got it with points from work, Thomas, so it was a free watch, and it's a Seiko King Turtle Save the Turtles edition.
Are the Ninja Turtles?
Sea Turtles.
Oh, well, that's more honorable.
But it's cool. It came with, like, the metal bracelet and this strap, and I like the strap, the silicone strap more.
Yeah.
I'll let you play with it. It's a huge strap. And I no, not to
promises, promises. All right.
not to generalize, not to. Thomas's wrist. Thomas has big wrists, but I guarantee you this will fit your wrist.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate you letting me. Never mind.
All right, say that again.
Nope. It's a generous offer.
It's super fun, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
All right, let's look
over to make sure we were recording, because this is gold.
Oh, yeah. Great. I mean, good start.
We can't capture this a second time. We're just it's
gold.
Yeah. It's tens of people will listen to this. Okay, so we start. It's 1917 in the Great Plains, and I took this as like this seemed like Dakotas, Wyoming.
1717.
Sorry, 1717. I can't read. I've been faking it this whole time.
The whole time.
Naru?
Yeah, Naru. Okay.
A young Comanche woman trained as a healer dreams of becoming a great hunter like her brother, Tabe. And she's woken up with a very sturdy kick to the basically head. It's time for her to go collect things. Like all the women of the tribe are going out to collect you know, herbs and fish or anything else. And, like, they're going out for their daily foraging.
Mm-hmm.
And she's ends up tracking a deer with her dog. The dog's name is Sari?
Sari? Yeah.
Sari.
Yeah.
She witnesses in the sky while she's tracking this deer. She's about to have the kill shot when there is a thunderous noise in the clouds and the lights. You see the aliens, an alien predator spacecraft, which she thinks is a Thunderbird,
mm-hmm.
coming down to Earth. The deer scatters off, and we get that long tracking shot you were talking about, chase, and eventually the deer gets away, which is unfortunate because she's like, I almost had it. And later on, her brother's like, yeah, almost. She wants to be a hunter.
Yeah, they were real dicks to her in this movie. It was like a classic tale of like, oh, I want to do this, and everybody like shitting on her dreams.
Yeah, I don't really.
It's like Moana, but with.
I don't quite know what the Bechdel test is, but I don't think this movie passed it.
It did not. Yeah.
She gets shit on a lot, which sucks because she's the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
But she's coming back, and she's took the noise in the sky as a sign of the Thunderbird, and this is now a sign for her to go prove herself and go on her basic, her spirit quest, her hunting quest,
which
is like the rite of passage.
And they called it Kutamiya or something.
Right. I forgot to write that down, but it was a very hard to pronounce word. Yeah. So
spirit, let's call it a spirit quest.
Yeah. It's like her hunting trial. Let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it essentially, to summarize, it was the you want to hunt something that can hunt you or hunt something. So it's like
it's a rite of passage.
Yep.
And I guess it's kind of the thing of what you choose to hunt, the greater the danger, the more respect if you succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, and this is going deep into Game of Thrones lore, but in the first season of Game of Thrones, you see Tyrion finally make it back to like his father, and he's got all like the hill tribes with him. And there's like Timmit, son of Timmit, and whatever else. Well, in the books, one of those guys, Timmit, he's part of the Burned Hand clan or something like that. And the leader of the clan is the one they say to be the bravest. And the way you prove that is by cutting something off or burning something off of your body. So normally it's like a finger or something else. And he's like, no, I'm a badass. And he just stuck a hot poker in his eye and blinded himself in one eye. And everyone's like, you're a badass. You're our leader now. Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's a terrifying culture.
Yeah, that's culture. Hardcore, yeah.
So this is kind of similar lines of you go and hunt something dangerous, like you move up the power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about this. She's talking about it with her brother on like the shores of a river. And she's getting ready. She sees a bald fucking eagle. Pick up like
with a fish,
and she's aiming at it with the bow, and he's telling a story, or is she talking, and he's like pretending to be asleep.
I can't remember.
I think he's telling a story and talking. And she's like, God, you're so boring, but she's like going after that, and her brother just pulls out a bow and arrow, whoop, punk, and we get a very close shot of us, I'm guessing a CGI
yeah.
b- bald eagle being killed. Otherwise,
hopefully.
I feel like this movie may have some problems if that's a real bald eagle getting mm-hmm. clipped.
That was quite the shot.
We had a lot of takes on that.
We went through a lot of eagles, man. I tell you.
I mean, both in terms of the scenery with the river and the cool, you know, eagle flying with the fish and all that. And then the skill of just, you know, hitting that shot, obviously.
Oh, he straight Hawkeyes it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They do have a nice, you know, back and forth brotherly, you know, jabs and all that jazz too. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit off air before the show. Almost all the actors, or potentially all the actors, are Native American.
I didn't get a chance to research it because work was hell the last day and a half. But I want to go check it. But I'm just saying from the, when I was watching the credits, the names of all the main actors had a Native American feel, like Thundercloud or something like that.
Yep.
You know, it was like it seemed to me that they were Native Americans. I could be wrong.
No, it seemed that way to me too. And I thought, again, having...
But it would make sense for this movie.
Yes, having just watched Predator, 12 hours before I watched this, roughly, there was a little bit of a parallel with the tracker guy, Billy,
yes.
in Predator, who was some form of a Native American. And that was that guy was an awesome character.
Billy Landham or whatever.
Yeah.
But he awesome character. That actor's insane. If you ever want to read about somebody who's crazy, him... The Predator famously had two future governors in it.
Yes, I commented to Tiffany on that too. She watched the first half of the movie. I was like, oh my God, I forgot Jesse Ventura was in there.
And that guy ran for governor of Kentucky, but lost.
Oh, okay.
I think
may not know. Did he do that after the other two had already?
I don't know the timing of it. Yeah. But I mean, Eric was telling me that. He's like, oh, yeah, he's kind of crazy. He's like to the right of the Kaiser. Like, he's just...
okay.
He's like a lunatic.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
So. It was cool. I mean, just to, not to spend too much time on him, I really enjoyed like when he was like, oh, yeah, there were like, you know, six men that came through here. They were all wearing U.S. Army-issued boots, and they went that way. It's like, okay.
They were shooting every direction. Doesn't make a damn bit of sense. I may have slipped into some Sam Elliott there.
It's pretty close.
I didn't interrupt before, but you guys brought up where was the movie Prey filmed, and it was filmed in...
Steve broke. He's shut down.
It was filmed in Canada.
Okay, that tracks.
Yeah.
It was in Calgary. I was about to say Ontario, but I was like,
Calgary.
Oh, in the city of Calgary.
That makes sense.
That would make sense. There's not a ton up there.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it didn't look like Vancouver or Toronto. I'm familiar with when a movie's filmed there. I'm like, oh, that's Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Calgary, that makes sense. Beautiful country up there.
It is, yeah.
It's almost like the Canadians know what they're doing. Okay, so after the little bald eagle homicide or birdicide, aviacide? I don't know.
I like that.
Thank you. One of the tribe's hunters has been taken by a mountain lion. But they just call it a lion.
Yeah.
Like, where are they?
And then I was thinking the same damn thing.
Like 5 minutes later, I'm like,
but then they would
probably a mountain lion.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe that's the only lion they know, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was just, I was like, how did a animal from the Serengeti? Yeah. Oh, right. Right. Probably not like a, like a great lion, you know? So. Sorry, Naru wants to join the search party to help find and track their missing person.
Yep.
And they're like, no, you can't come. And she's like, I can track better than any of you. And he's probably need medical treatment. So her brother, who's kind of like, he's a highly regarded warrior, and is like, okay, she's coming. Let's go. It's like six of them, right? Mm-hmm. So they go out there. And eventually, we get a lot of like sneaking around, and I did like we had those long, tense, dark moments. A lot of stalking and sneaking around.
They do a lot of.
It was done well.
A lot of hand signals too. You know, again, obviously, I'm sure they used whatever hand signals you use. They used a lot of it in the, I'm gonna call it the original. You know, Predator as well.
But one thing I did notice is when they're it's at night and they're sneaking through the woods, they all have like their bows out and they're walking along like a goddamn SWAT team. Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe that's how hunters would move. Maybe not. But all I could see was like doing like army commando stuff and they're all going around. And I was like, this is cool. But also I'm like, this is how they'd move.
Yeah. I don't know.
They just watch an episode of FBI on CBS. Yes.
CBS's new number one hit show, Langley. Oh, that makes it sound like a situational comedy at the CIA.
Now, hey, no,
Quantico.
There's
an
idea. There we go. Let's write that.
Yeah, cut this out, Thomas. Hey, future Thomas, cut this out. So they go through. They find the wounded hunter. He's fucked up. She starts working on him, and like putting together some sort of poultice or balm or salve out of flowers and God knows what, and like. And they're like, we need to cover him up. And she's like, no, he's overheating. He's going to be uncomfortable but alive. You know, I know he's cold, but whatever. So she's helping heal him while the rest of them immediately go into, like, MacGyver mode. Mm-hmm. And I love how resourceful everyone is in this
game. They, like, scavenge, like, a net, and they build a stretcher, essentially.
Yeah.
But where did they discover, like, the meshed, like, woven net.
I guess
they had to have had that with them.
I would hope so. I didn't see a tendency.
They didn't bring a weaver.
Okay. All right, you guys get out of the wood. The guy whips out knitting needles. It's like,
we brought our guy, luckily.
Yeah. Well, she gave him some kind of a herbal something or whatever to
the orange flower
to cool his blood. And at that moment, I was like, oh, that's gonna be important.
And here's the thing, I didn't notice. It's cool, the blood. And they spend a lot of time on it. I'm like, oh, it's interesting. They're putting this time into it. But of course, it was a plot device that I completely missed.
Yeah.
So I think I was more concentrating on the wine I was drinking at this point. But
what were you drinking?
What was I drinking? I think I was drinking like a cab. Like, I think it was Matchbook Cab. It's like 15 a bottle, 16 a bottle. It's good.
There you go.
It's nothing special.
Go pick it up. Sponsored by Thomas. Send the bill.
I'm subsidizing. Send the bill. Oh, okay. I'm not only subsidizing, I'm paying for all of it.
Yes.
Cool. Send it into the Whiskey Wednesday podcast at gmail.com. I'll get right on it. I'm going to need to see receipts in quadruplicate.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So during all that, too, though, Thomas, I can't remember at what point, but Naru makes the comment, like, something scared off the lion. And then
right.
Like,
she's on it right away.
Yeah, she this is the theme for the next half hour, 45 minutes, you know. She's picking up everything that everybody else is missing, which is another theme.
And then everybody
shits on her. Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? It's a bear. No, it's a this. It's a that. Yeah. You're dumb. Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, says the woman. Yeah. It's like, no, like this isn't. She's pointing it out. She's on top of it. But also, like, this shouldn't be hard to convince you. You guys are apparently professional hunters and gatherers.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's so funny. So they find him, they retrieve him, but Tebe stays behind to find and kill the mountain lion. Another guy stays with them behind, and then Naru says, I'm staying behind too.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up a trap and they're going to do it in a tree and they're going to use someone as bait and kind of lure the mountain lion in. But on the way to do that, Naru finds unusually large tracks and a meticulously skinned rattlesnake to the point where, they're going home. She finds that and then circles back to find Tebe. Sorry. Yep. And then the three of them go to set the trap, but she's like, hey, like, a mountain lion or a bear didn't do this.
Yeah.
Like, someone skinned a goddamn snake and left all the meat.
The creepy part of that, too, was the thing was still alive. The snake was still alive when she, like, approached it. Because it had, like, its death rattle or whatever death rattle's the wrong thing, but it twitched.
What if it's a rattlesnake?
It applies here.
Yes.
But, yeah, it twitched, and it was really creepy.
I don't know how snakes work. I'll be the first to admit. And, frankly, I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when it started coming alive again, when it looked like the bodies exhibit,
yes,
it's like, oh, this is pretty gross.
So you're not a reptile guy?
I'm no snake man.
Listen, I'll be first to tell you what I do and do not know about. I like a reptile.
I've never liked them because they feel like they'd be slimy, and I know that they're not slimy, but I just can't get over the feel that.
I'm fine with reptiles. I don't care for serpents.
Mm, okay.
It's just, Call me crazy.
So you're a turtle man.
Oh, yeah. You got to love a turtle. You got to save them, too.
Yeah.
And is this like, hey, it's a daily reminder. You look at your watch and you're like, Tim,
got to save the
you
turtles.
Had time today to save the turtles and you didn't.
Yes.
Now you are going to look at that watch and think that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a real guilt trip.
Mm-hmm. Missed up. Mm-hmm. Save the turtles.
Steve, what's that hand signal you're doing? Oh, it's for the turtles. Turtle power. Guns to talk about the turtles.
Got this watch.
Jordan Kyrie scored. That might have been a hat trick.
Oh.
It was a hat trick for Jordan Kyrie.
What's the old score in there?
5-2 Blue Note.
Ah.
And our chances of the number one pick go down.
My plan of tanking for Bedard?
Bad for Bedard. Yeah. Hashtag ampersand.
Yeah. Out the window.
Like a bucket of piss. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Nauru faces off with the big cat in the tree because she's up on the branch of a tree while the other two are trying to lure it in.
Yep.
And she gets distracted by some strange sounds in the distance and a lot of good cackling predator noises in this movie.
Yeah. Sound design. How would you describe the predator? Cackling or?
It's croaking, cackling. Yeah. It's very similar to if you've ever seen other.
It's very distinct. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a variation on all the other predators. So if you've seen one. Yeah. Imagine that. Kind of hard to get out of your
mm-hmm.
noggin.
Mm-hmm.
But she's up on a tree limb, and the mountain lion comes up, and they're basically both on a branch, and she has like a wooden pike spear.
Mm-hmm.
And she stabs it, but then falls off the tree, hits her head out cold. Cut to, she's in a tent
mm-hmm.
Back with her mom. And she had been carried back by Tebe, and he later returns to the village carrying the dead mountain lion, earning him the title of war chief.
Which, the stamina on this guy, he's not a big guy.
Oh, he's CrossFit, baby.
I mean, to carry a 100, and, I don't know, 10, a normal-sized woman back,
yes.
And then go kill the mountain lion, and then carry that fucking thing back, which the mountain lion was probably heavier than the girl.
Yes.
That was impressive.
Yes, and they had mentioned earlier that the current war chief was sick and not doing so well. So this passing of the mantle comes to him. Mm-hmm. There seemed to be one other guy in the village with the kind of the mohawk who was upset by this. Okay, I was like, oh, that's going to come back later. It doesn't.
It doesn't, right?
It does not at all. But that's fine. I was like, oh, no, they're going to get in a part later, and he's going to leave him out to dry.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Would have been good, though.
Missed opportunity.
Nice little head fake.
Maybe that ended up on the editing room floor.
So, somebody got to do with the shears.
Yes.
Okay, so he's the war chief now. Convinced of a greater threat that they've never seen before, Nauru departs the village with Sari. It's the next morning. She gets kicked awake, and they're like, we got to go gather more flowers and fish and shit. And she goes out there, but then she drops her gathering bag, picks up her weapons, grabs a dog, and starts walking the opposite way.
Yeah, this is like the cool moment. Scene. Yeah, it's the moment where she's like, there's something out there. I'm going to, you know, get rid of all this tradition and everything that's expected of me, and I need to go hunt whatever this thing is.
And there are a couple lines in there. I can't remember what exactly the wordage was, but it's like saying, oh, if you're ready to be a hunter, then show me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, if nobody believes me, I'll fucking show you. So I'm coming back with this thing's head. And she goes out there, and she goes out there with her dog. And then she comes across an open plain where there are a unholy amount of buffalo that have been shot, killed, and skinned.
Yeah, so that scene. So obviously we were up close and personal with one. And it was a cigar that she saw there too.
I thought it was a
bullet shell or a bullet, whatever.
But it was a cigar because we get the chopping cigar bill later.
Yeah. So, and then as they panned away, I was taking a note or something, but I glanced up at the very end of that scene, and there appeared to be dozens or possibly hundreds of other buffalo, all skinned, right?
Yeah, it was basically all their fur hunters, trappers, whatever else. Yep. And she's like, she's obviously there. She's like, this is incredibly wasteful. And she puts something.
But from her perspective, she might not necessarily know because the rattlesnake was skinned. She, you know,
that's true. I got the sense that she knew
that it was colonizers.
Well,
colonizers necessarily, but trappers.
But she had also come on in the chase at the beginning of the movie with the deer.
Yeah,
her dog got caught in that
trap. She knew at that point that there were
It was like an iron trap. So I think she knew there were Frenchmen on the loose.
Whites.
When the dog got caught in the trap, Tiffany almost got up and left the room. She's like, "Oh, what did they do to that dog?" And I'm like, "It's just his tail. It's just his tail."
Yeah. You don't need it. I don't know. If a dog loses its tail, does it like fall over because it doesn't have balance? Or?
No, they're fine. There are some dogs where they like, I don't know the reason, but they snip the tail like when they're babies or puppies or whatever, when they're born. Like Cocker Spaniels maybe, or some dogs have like little nub tails.
I'm looking at Hoagie under the table, mm-hmm. but that's just a corgi.
He was born with that tail, but there are corgis with tall tails too.
Okay.
Like they tell unbelievable stories?
Yeah. yes, that's actually what I meant.
Obviously.
Like, you know what? I'm gonna call it a day. I'm not going to be able to do better than that.
In a train car type of thing.
I'm really happy with myself. Yeah. Jesus, why would anyone listen to this?
Does anybody listen to this?
No, not really.
Email the show at whiskeywednesdaypodcast@gmail.com. That's whiskeywednesdaypodcast@gmail.com. Nobody's going
to
check
it. Make sure to send in your receipts, though, and your billables.
Oh my God. We're going to end up with a bunch of Venmo requests somehow that make their way to my account.
Well, we're making so much money off this thing. I mean,
that's a good point. Who is our sponsor tonight?
We're in between sponsorships right now.
It's not ZipRecruiter.
It's stamps.com.
Okay. Sort of underwear.
Warby Parker, stamps.com, and MeUndies.
Thomas John underwear.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, so she's baffled by all the wasteful slaughter. And she says a prayer for their spirits and like put something on one of the buffalo's head. I'm like, is she gonna do that for all the buffalo?
Right.
A lot of buffalo. Also, what is that thing she put on there? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, she then goes, I guess, across that plain, ends up in another wooded area, which is a bog. I'm like, we are getting a lot of terrains in this movie, but I'm in it. She stumbles into a mud-filled bog pit. It acts like quicksand.
My comment was, holy shit, is this a real thing?
I guess.
I mean, I know that when...
It's like a primordial ooze.
Yeah, and they're a little bit too far south for permafrost to be a thing, but I know as you get really high up into Canada, permafrost is a thing.
Yes.
And when permafrost thaws, it can get marshy.
Oh.
So maybe that was what was said. I don't know. 400 years ago or whatever, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
But that was my comment, was that was a thing. And my second comment, Thomas, along the lines of the blood-cooling medicine was... This is important because she was covered in mud, right?
Right. And that's what I thought too. I'm like, oh, she's going to figure out the same thing that Arnold figured out.
Yep.
You go into the mud, you cover yourself to the mud, then you make big noise, you build a fire. Come on, kill me. Come on, do it. Come on, that's right here.
Before she falls in the pit of quicksand like mud, was there the wolf fight, the real quick wolf fight with the predator where he guts him? The wolf, like...
Maybe,
I think there was, because then after that, the animals get bigger that we see fighting them.
Yeah, there is a very clear escalation of fauna size. And... Fauna? Yeah, fauna.
Yeah.
But also, we should mention before this, she had been throwing her tomahawk trying to kill stuff.
Yep.
And she made a rope, essentially, to have a tomahawk retrival system. And again, all the other hunters were making fun of her, like, "Oh, your tomahawk needs a leash."
Yeah,
I'm like, "What the fuck? This is a good idea."
Yeah, she's like a freaking sniper with that thing.
She's chucking around and pulling it back. I'm like, physics wouldn't allow this, but right? I'm fine with this.
Yeah, it's like the Captain America shield, essentially.
Yeah.
Bouncing off trees and coming back.
It's what was it? Civil War, maybe? Where I think it's Spider-Man's like, man, that thing does not obey physics at all. she's in the marsh boggy pit, and she's got to like pull herself out. So she uses the tomahawk on a string as a grappling hook of sorts, and like misses once, misses twice, misses three times, and then the fourth last time she gets it and pulls herself out, and narrowly escapes. And then they are attacked by a grizzly bear.
Yeah, then we get the bear fight.
Bear fight!
And I was like, oh my God, this fucking bear is going to eat this dog, and I'm going to get mad, and Tiffany's going to be sad. And like,
I was rooting for the bear. Now, that said, this dog was badass.
This dog was badass.
It had a really cool look, too. I don't know what kind of dog this was.
And the dog did a great job. It's like, oh, I'm going to lead the bear away, and then the dog comes running back, and we're like, oh God.
I had a moment.
Yes.
Where I said, this is a really interesting dog. I wonder if it was like a different species of dog that only existed back then. And then I remembered this movie was made like in the last 2 years. So this dog has to exist now.
I mean, cloning isn't quite up to the standard of
it was yet. It was a real journey for me in the matter of like 7 seconds.
The film cost $2 billion because we had to clone a dog.
The dog died shortly after filming.
All of that dog was hurt.
Yeah. They put that at the end. 100% of this dog was hurt in this movie. And then we ate him. All right. But yeah, the bear.
That bear is ferocious.
So the bear is eating, is attacking something in like the riverbed.
So what? Yeah. So
and they're above. Yeah. And she goes to kill the bear to like, oh, this will be my proof that I'm a hunter. And right as she's about to loose the arrow, her bow string snaps.
Yep.
And so she has to like, the bear notices, immediately turn around and starts to come after her. And she's like trying to restring the bow. That's what you said. The dog did the rope-a-dope.
Yep.
Oh God, I just burped right into the microphone. I am sorry. I am sorry, 13 people listening. The dog does an up and back. And right as the bear is about to get to her, what happens? Oh, that's right. They flee, and then she hides in like
she goes into the dam or
a dam, like, and the bear can't quite get to her.
Yep.
But she's hiding there. She's kind of fucked, and that's when the predator comes along.
Yeah, and we get the escalation. So we had the wolf fight, which was cool. The wolf got in like one bite, and then was killed. Yeah. The bear has a little bit more success. Right. This, like I said, this bear is ferocious and big as fuck.
Big,
yeah.
And when the predator, like it takes, the predator takes a few licks from the bear and gets hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
But then it like lifts the bear up and like claws it and guts it, and all the blood falls on the predator. And then you see the outline of the predator because it's been camouflaged.
It was cool, yeah.
And it was, and that's when she's like,
it was a cool fight.
I got to get the fuck out of here.
What? One, like, is that a grizzly bear? What do you think this, I mean, this bear is over 1,000 pounds, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. I would think so.
That's a big-ass bear.
I mean, they
flee. Where I'm going, I mean, the predator is,
yeah,
he's built.
Predator's fucking swole. He's packing. He's packing.
I mean, we've got Eric, but this guy is two Erics.
Now, if Eric was here, he could tell you exactly how he could beat the predator.
How many inches the arms of the predator are.
Because Eric,
you can't match the 24 inch pythons, brother.
He's a sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yes, indeed he is. There are some unfortunate word choices in that scene with the helicopter.
Yes.
It's a real bad habit you got there. Mm-hmm. Me and Dutch each got a lighter. And everyone's like, fuck you. this gives Naru time to escape. And she runs into a group of Comanche that were sent to find her. And the predator there are three of them. And they're like, they tie her hands. And they're like, she's like, something's after me. It fucking killed a bear. Like, no joke. Like, you guys, like, untie me. Like, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And nobody believes her again.
No. Again. They're gaslighting her the entire time. Like, you didn't see that. The fuck?
Yeah.
And the predator ambushes one guy while he's taking a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two guys are bow scanning like the horizon, and they're hearing like the cackling or whatever else, and they don't last long.
One of the guys loses an arm really quickly, and then possibly the other arm after is...
It was... You got to give him a hand.
And this might have been the first time... This might have been the first time that we saw the tri-laser sight, which is another throwback.
Classic Predator stuff. But this one was, In previous movies with the tri-laser sight, we got like a laser blast or something.
Yeah.
With this one, it was homing metal darts.
Yeah.
But if they got embedded in something, he'd have to go get them and reload them. So it's almost like this happens 300 years before, whatever, 250 years, 300 years before the Predator, or the first Predator. But they're almost like, well, yeah, they're way advanced, but they still made other advances in the intervening
years. Yeah, in the process. Right. Yeah. So that was my question.
They went to metal darts to a plasma cannon.
Yeah, but that was my question, is like, not to dive super deep into this, but like, they're that advanced that 400 years ago they were able to, or not 400.
You know, yeah.
They were able to have space travel and all that. And then I started thinking about, I read a little bit, like one, a little bit, like three or four sentences about Predator culture. And does it work like they go on?
please keep talking for 20 minutes.
Is the point, like, is it that they get sent out and they're on their own quest to kill the strongest beast of wherever they are? And then do they get a reward of greater technology, like better weapons, or is it just the quest and then the adulation that goes along with it?
I think in the past, if a Predator kills another Predator, they may gain better weapons and take those as a trophy. But when he was spraying, when they spray the skulls and they take the trophies,
yes,
that's kind of like their resume.
Okay.
So the bigger the beast, the more fearsome the beast, they take the skull and like, here are my bona fides, essentially. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's like, oh, if you're a new Predator, you have to prove your worth with these weapons. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Not much is known about Predator culture.
Well, not yet. Not yet, at least.
I think it's based on the Mormon culture. You have to go out.
Tune into ABC next week or next year at 7:30 for Predators.
It's very Scientology. You have to be a certain level before you get, you know, you have a certain Thetan level before you can get to, you know, the plasma cannon. Mm-hmm. Or that weird frisbee disc that
was a badass frisbee dick.
What? No, take two.
Frisbee disc shield.
Yes. That cool. One, I want to talk about that when we get to the gadget parade that happens in the fight in the fog.
But, yeah.
We'll save that. We got it's a deep tease.
Mm-hmm,
So she busts out of there. These three guys have been aced. She busts out of there and starts running. Until she's caught in another one of those iron traps for her foot, the Predator comes up, sees that it's like this iron chain, and she's trapped. And, and the Predator basically is saying, "You are no longer worthy prey.
Not a threat.
You're not a threat. I'm leaving you behind." So he goes and kills, or he goes off to find other stuff. But the Frenchman hunters. Or what are we going to call them?
Trappers.
The trappers.
Let's take a break here.
Okay.
Before we head to the final two scenes, I guess.
Oh yeah, I guess we're about halfway through. Yeah. So we're good. Okay, cool. We're going to take a break, and you just sit there for about 3 seconds, and we'll be back. But we're going to take a break. Okay, we're back. The trappers responsible for the slaughtering of the bison have come to check their trap. They find Naru, and then they cage her. Their interpreter, Raphael Adelini, who, by the way, this is the one guy who gets, like, a full name.
Yeah.
All the other trappers
in the
credits.
Trapper 4, Trapper 3.
Well, it was, like, Cigar Guy and Top Hat and shit like that. He questions Naru about what's out there. What is hunting us, the Predator? And she's like, I don't know, but it's dangerous. We should get out of here. And the trappers have encountered the Predator before, so they're confused, but they're also weirdly confident.
Yeah.
Cause they got like flintlocks.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so at that point I was like, okay, I just watched the other movie where they had like assault rifles and Thomas, what's the gun called? That's circular. That's
a minigun.
They had a fucking minigun and they still got killed.
Yeah. Specifically it's a minigun. It's a smaller version of a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
But in that specific movie, Jesse, the mind, body, and soul Ventura calls it, he has a nickname for it.
Painless?
Old Painless.
Yeah. Yeah, I like
and that. It's pretty great. him using that thing, and then more specifically, when Bill Duke picks it up and just clear cuts a fucking forest. Oh, my God. That's just so much dude sweat and machismo right there that I just...
It was pretty cool.
It's actually kind of amazing that I'm heterosexual after all these 80s action movies, if I'm honest. But anywho, what am I doing here? Sorry, Hoax. Didn't mean to. Sorry, I forgot to introduce the fourth host. That's Hoagie,
mm-hmm.
The corgi, who is kind of the best and currently looking for pets, but he'll probably just sleep here in a minute. Steve, thank you for bringing the most important part of the podcast, the dog.
He's an assassin.
He killed the queen, I heard.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, it was weird.
It was an inside job.
Well, it was weird. Steve's like, I think I'm going to get a dog. I'm like, oh, what are you getting? He's like, oh, I'm thinking about a corgi. And like right after the queen passed, this dog shows up. And Steve's like, well, yeah, I got him from England. And I was like, oh, this is suspicious. The queen had corgis.
Mm-hmm.
Now the queen's dead. The only possible explanation is that she was not. It's not because she was 96.
Yeah.
It was because.
Yeah, assassinated.
This.
Obviously.
Hoagie, you know, or Sir Hoagington the Fourth. I got to her.
After you make an assassination, you have to lay low. So yeah. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. He played the long con.
Small town in the Midwest. Sure. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, he's just. He's unassuming. He's not. He doesn't at all have shifty eyes. Okay, so. She refuses to talk. He's basically like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And the lead trapper reveals that he has Tebe captured also, mm-hmm. and then tortures him before using both siblings as bait for the predator. And torture, I mean, he's trying to get answers, and he cuts Tebe across the chest.
Yeah, real dick move.
A classic movie cut where it's like, I'm going to draw a butter knife. Sorry, Tim. I'm going to draw a spatula across your chest, mm-hmm. and there will be very clear, bright red blood.
Yeah.
I didn't mean for you to have any flashbacks.
No flashbacks,
Did you get rid of all the butter knives in your house?
No, they're still there.
Oh, okay.
They're still there. One of the women that I work with, after I told her the story, she said a week later, she's like, I stopped allowing my children to use butter knives. I'm like, smart.
Wow.
Now,
an adult can't do it. Why would kids be able
well,
to do that?
You see, I think I'm going kind of where you are, Steve. Is she saying that because there's two ways to take that? One, like, hey, it's still a knife. The kids probably shouldn't play with it. Mm-hmm. Or is she equating you to a child?
Yeah. Well, either way. Either way. I took it as the first one, but it could be the latter.
Honestly, if I worked with you, I would buy cheap flatware off of Amazon and leave you a butter knife on your desk every day for a year. Just so many of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get a lot of bows. It would cost me a lot of money, but you know me.
Yeah.
I will spend money
on it. You commit to the joke.
I commit to the bit.
Yeah.
Almost, it's almost financially ruinous sometimes. But
it's burdensome.
Yeah. Listen, am I as far along retiring certain debt as I'd like to be? No. Well, is that shit funny? Yes. I got to live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she refuses to talk, and they bait them up on a tree. It's a classic. We're going to tie you two together around a tree with some weak-ass ropes. There's no way you'll get away. And while tied to the tree, Tebe admits to his sister that she had weakened the mountain lion that made him war chief
mm-hmm.
and enabled him to kill it. And he's like, you see what I don't like. They're an effective pair, but he's never truly recognized that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I don't know if we can kill this thing. And we get the line, Tim.
Yeah,
which you pointed out. Yeah. Of
a long time ago.
Oh no, that's from the beginning of the movie. We completely forgot to play that one.
That's okay. Next.
I don't know that this thing can be killed.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Now, what do you think of his line read there? Because I liked it.
I liked it too. And I liked the parallel. I know I've been hopping back and forth between the two movies, but I loved the parallel there.
All the Predator movies essentially follow the same formula.
Yeah.
This one a little bit more closely, but really good. Because when Arnold says it, if it bleeds, we can kill it. But he has a more like, he's not saying like, I'm a tough guy. Mm-hmm. He's just going, well, listen, we're hunters. Like, we got a chance. Not uber confident.
Yeah, like Arnold. Yeah.
Yes. What is his name in that movie? Dutch.
Dutch. Yeah. Dutch. I had forgotten that because I had seen it originally, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatever. And I was like, are they calling him Dutch? What are they calling him?
I thought about this today. I want to go back through every movie we've done for you and I, me and Eric, me and Tommy. all of them and write down the main character's name. And I want to like quiz you guys and be like, here is the main character or character's names. This I'm going to say them to you. What movie is this? Mm-hmm. And I bet it'd be incredibly hard.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all dumb fucking
names.
It'd
be really hard, yeah.
Like, if I pulled out a name from Mercury Rising, there's not Mercury Rising, Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
I got my planet elevation movies mixed up. Mercury Rising was with Alec Baldwin and Bruce Willis. Jupiter Ascending was with Channing Tatum, Sean Bean, Mila Kunis,
yeah.
And Whisper Yell, Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah, that was quite the performance by that guy.
Let's just watch that one again.
I liked that movie. Two questions. Was there a sequel or will there be a sequel?
No, and hopefully yes.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
I mean, I'll watch Mila Kunis do anything,
yeah,
but I don't think they're going to do a sequel.
That was very CGI heavy, right? Was that a super expensive movie to make?
It was. Yeah. It was. And it's like, well, Channing Tatum is a Wolfman, and yeah. Mila Kunis is an interstellar queen, and the only way we know that is because bees like her. And I wish I was making this up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. I remember that.
Yep.
From the farmhouse.
Bees?
Regular, sorry? Not regular bees.
Nope.
Regular
bees. Just bees know when there's royalty. That's the premise of the movie.
Oh.
Honestly, the most unbelievable of this thing in this movie is that Mila Kunis, the only job she could get was being a maid and scrubbing toilets. I'm like, you're objectively one of the hottest people on the planet.
Right.
Like, I don't care if you have a work visa or not. Like, no. Bartending gig.
Yeah, you go work in a club or something. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so they're tied to the tree. And he's admitting that all this happened. The predator comes in, and he kills most of the trappers while Tebe and Naru escape. Now, a lot happens here.
Yeah.
Because we get...
This was quite the... Montage is the wrong word, but sequence of crazy kills and people popping out from under tarps and shit. And
so, like, they're there as bait. And Naru knows that, like, it doesn't want us if we're just sitting here. It'll fucking kill all of them. We need to use this to get out of here. Now, the Predator has a lot of weaponry. He has, and this is just what I saw. I could be missing a couple. He had an Arya Stark-style spear that extended and broke apart into multiple pieces. We see him just slaughtering people with that thing. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Tri-Dart Launcher, which has a laser sight and homing capabilities. The shield.
Yep.
Which is on his wrist, and it kind of spins open like a clock, but like it extends almost like a colander.
Yeah.
You know, like a steamer thing.
I was thinking like the dinosaur from Jurassic Park, the spitting dinosaur.
Oh, the Dilophosaurus.
It doesn't deploy like that, but it's kind of, you know, kind of like that.
Yeah, it's oval shaped.
Yeah.
And he is using that to scissor people's heads off.
Oh man, yeah.
He's using it to block bullets. It's really, really functional.
Yeah.
I enjoy any movie that has a good shield in it, especially if it comes out of nowhere. Like,
yeah,
Avengers, Tony Stark eventually had a variation of shields where it just shows up.
Mm-hmm.
I like a good shield. I don't know. That's why I watch 300 every night before I go to bed.
They had the net, Thomas.
Oh, the constricting net.
Like the slicer net. That thing was vicious.
He hit somebody with a net and it like constricts around. I'm like, oh, that guy's trapped and he's going to get stabbed. No. Predator walks away and the thing closes around and the netting is like razor sharp where it imagine, how do I put this?
They got diced up.
You know, sliced them up?
You know that thing you use to like take an apple and you push down it, it turns it into sections?
Yeah, right.
It did that with a human body, but into cubes.
Yep, and did the wood, the tree. I mean, obviously it went through the tree too. It was shredded.
It was
something.
So gruesome.
Yeah.
He had a Wolverine claw, which we saw earlier with the bear.
With the snake and some other stuff, yeah.
And then my personal favorite, the Bouncing Betty laser mines, which sprung from the ground, went up to a certain level, activated high-pitched noise, and then just cut people's legs off?
Yeah.
Because we see that later with our translator. He is lost a limb. But basically, the Predator at this point is going after these trappers, and he's John Wicking.
Yep.
He's just killing everyone. And I think the Predator takes a shot or two.
Yeah.
It's in this movie, he's not dodging everything. He's getting hit, and he's like, he's healing himself or whatever else. But you can see, like, he can be killed. Mm-hmm. Which we'll get to the headshot he takes later, which is amazing. Yeah. But so that all happens. When this is going on, Naru's attached to the tree, and she's like telling a story about how someone is in a similar situation and escaped by basically cutting their hand off. And you think like, oh shit, she's going to do it. And their brother's like, do not do this, whatever else. She goes, oh, I'm not an idiot. Yeah. And then,
I'm smarter than an otter. I'm smarter than a beaver, whatever right. It was.
Yeah. How does she get out of it?
She pulls over one of the traps, I think, and throws a rock at it, and then it clips the rope.
Oh, right, because it's like leather. That's
or she
right.
drops something on That's it. That's right. It closes on it, and it,
you thought
it frees their restraints.
Right. We thought she was going to stick her hand in there and have it cut off and do that.
Yeah.
Which would have been badass, mm-hmm. but again, that burned man type thing. Like, yeah. I'm going to do all this. I'm still going to kill the predator and be the badass. So the predator kills all the Frenchmen. They escape. Tabe goes in one direction to get the horses.
Yep.
Naru goes the other way to rescue Sari, the dog, from the camp, and stumbles across the translator, Raphael, who is missing a leg. And he's like, hey, you're a healer. Like, help me out. I'll teach you how to use the flintlock pistol in exchange for, you know, treatment. And she does that and gives him some of that orange flower. And he's like, wait, what the fuck was that? Blah, blah, blah. And he gives her mediocre instructions at best.
Yeah, like terrible instructions.
It's like, well, you put the powder in, and then you put the bolt and the cloth in. I'm like, well, there's an order here.
Yeah.
I'm like,
not too little, but not too much. Yeah, you know, like, a pinch.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it mean? Yeah. And it could have been you.
Oh, man. Could have been you guy, that guy.
He came up last weekend with Nate.
Throwback.
Could have been you. I like, in my mind, that when that happened to you, you were accused of something like it was a murder mystery. Yeah, it was. And it's just so funny to me. Oh, anyway, man. That's inside baseball. So she gives him the herbs that reduce the body heat to stop or subdue the bleeding. The predator arrives. Raphael plays dead. And that's when Naru realizes that due to his reduced body heat, the predator cannot see him. She's yep. like, oh, shit, he can't see him. And then the predator then just steps on Raphael's leg. Yeah. He screams and then just, oops, no yeah. more.
Now he's down.
Now he's down for good. Right as that happens, like right after that happens, Tebe arrives on horseback yep. to rescue Naru. He's hooting and hollering, and going in circles very fast and hitting the predator. And pretty good. I'm thinking it might not be a good idea to make noise as you're yeah. trying to be evasive, but
right, yeah.
culture,
he,
I
but
guess.
He lands some good shots.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
And they weaken the predator, right? They yeah. they kind of get the upper hand until they don't have the upper hand.
Right.
And they start losing, and essentially Tebe sacrifices himself, and the predator kills him, and Naru's flees, and then she's about to get caught again, and that's when Tebe comes back up once more and like stabs him in the leg with yeah, the skull.
Something, yeah.
The skull of the one of the
wolf
trophies,
the,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when Tebe really gets gone.
Yep.
So he's dead. All the Comanche out there who were with her are dead. All the Frenchmen are dead, except one man.
Yeah, the one that was alive, was he the main Frenchman? Yeah, the cigar-chomping
lead.
Yeah.
Woo! Ooh, that's hot whiskey.
Which one, this one?
Yeah, the Blue Note. It's yeah. good, but she big.
Yeah.
Sorry, tonight we were drinking Colorado 291 whiskey, which we finished, and this is Blue Note whiskey, crafted in Memphis, straight bourbon, uncut. It is 61.25%.
Oh, that explains the heat.
Yes, yeah. It does. And aged in white oak barrels for a minimum of 3 years. Very nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I like a Memphis. Sorry for that. Okay, so she escapes, finds the leading trapper, knocks him out, and then severs one of his legs.
Yep.
and gives him an unloaded gun that he thinks is loaded, and he's screaming at her, blah, blah, blah.
I saw the part, but how did she sever his leg? Was it with her? Was it with her tech or the Predator's tech? Was it some kind of a Predator weapon, or was it a, did she just like chop it off? I didn't see it.
I think she'd found one of maybe the Bouncing Betty now.
Okay, that's mines. What I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a Predator tech. Okay. And then he's scrambling after the gun that he thinks is loaded and thinks she's just you could see through the French, the stupid savage.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's going to be able to load the gun because she doesn't know what it is and kill her. Our gal has a few words for him. Mm-hmm. And here's kind of the exchange.
You bled my brother. So now you bleed.
There it is.
You think that I'm not a hunter like you? And I'm not a threat. That is what makes me dangerous. You can't see, but I'm killing you.
And there's the Predator noise.
And about halfway through, I realized, oh, she's not giving this speech to the Trapper. This speech is squarely directed at the Predator.
Yes, and she's she's very cold eye, and she's putting on. Ash is like his face war paint, essentially face paint, camo. I don't know if it's ceremonial or functional.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a good little. It's a good little speech. I really enjoyed that, and I like that in the background the dun dun the background beats of this march towards our finale.
Yeah.
Okay, so. She eats the herbs, a lot of the herb, from based on what we see, to hide her body heat. But we learned earlier that the herb hides the body heat, but it also affects your, eat too much, you'll knock yourself out and die. So it's like a, I don't know if this is like a psychotropic or whatever. It's more of a numbing action, but can it affect your senses and cognitive ability? So she's hiding her body temp, but also limiting her functionality. And she's still going to try and go after this. So she's baiting the Predator to kill the Trapper. And then she uses Raphael's pistol to ambush the creature. But it I think it was earlier when she tried to fire and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But
she does get it to work. And she
sneaks up right
in the back of his head, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, if this ends with her just mafia style executing a guy, I was like, that's a pretty decent ending.
Yeah.
But no, she hits him directly in the back of the head and knocks off his mask. Baiting, and that.
And his mask was like his target. The targeting was based on the mask. Okay.
How the fuck
did he survive the shot to the back of the head?
I'm thinking maybe she didn't hit him square or.
And it was, I guess it wasn't like a shotgun. It was a single pellet that might have. Okay.
I don't know where a Predator's brain is.
That's true. Yeah. Could be in the ass.
Steve, do you know where it is?
I don't know. Look that up.
No. Yeah, I'll look it up.
Okay.
Be back in a minute.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
We'll get
Jared's been replaced. Yeah, no, he's done. He's done for. I fired his ass. sorry. It was a synergistic reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't fire. I mean,
efficiencies,
sackings, yes, quotes. So knocks off the mask, and she steals the mask because it has the Predator's targeting system for the dart gun thingy. She flees into the woods. She uses a Frenchman's severed leg to lure the Predator into the area of the mud-filled bog. She leaves a blood trail. And where she goes in there and she disappears. And I didn't recognize this from earlier. I was like, where is she going?
The bog, yeah.
And the Predator, she positions the creature's, the Predator's mask on a certain set of rocks. But you don't really have an understanding of where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Dimensionally, the Predator walks in and falls into the pit. And she's like, oh, he did. Mm-hmm. Except that he comes up out of the bog pit. But she has a backup plan. And that's when the Predator, she's like, come on, do it. Predator gets out the spear gun, tries to fire it at her, but the targeting system is basically like at the 3 o'clock position to his right, pointing directly at his head. So the darts go at our hero, curve, and then he basically, the Predator kills himself with his own weapon. And I was like, that's pretty
badass. That was pretty badass, yeah.
It was really, really smart and good. And I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. So I thought
she was baiting him into the... Sorry, go ahead.
No, so I was thrown off by earlier when I noticed the mud pit, and I was like, oh, well, she's going to use that to be muddy like Arnold, and that'll be the thing that is crucial in the final battle. It flip-flopped on me. It was the herbs that were crucial, but we did circle back around to the mud pit, so it was fun.
I thought she was going to use the mask to place it on the far side of the mud and just trap him in there,
mm-hmm.
which she did, but then she also had the secondary plan, which was further than I was looking.
Yeah.
So she does that, kills him. She severs its head, paints her face with the glowing green blood, which we haven't really talked about, but it's spewing ecto cooler all over the place.
Yeah, and moment. I had a note on that too. It was interesting and I'm sure intentional that the final battle was at night to make the blood more dramatic.
Right. It's almost bioluminescent.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe I'm remembering these words. I'm really I'm doing a great job. Way to go, Thomas.
Hey, nice work.
Thank you. She brings the head and the flintlock pistol back to her tribe. And she's basically has the head and like, I got the fucking creepy mythical creature that we think was hunting us, whatever else. And she also throws the flintlock to the older war chief going, I'm the only one left. I just killed this thing. And also, past this thing that I just fucking killed, we got problems. Yeah, we need to move. And then they go, you're the new war chief. And I don't know how to feel about this part, but basically they cut to like a younger girl who's like super inspired by it. So I'm like, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference? Let me put it this way. Do you remember in Avengers Endgame when Spider-Man hands over the Infinity Gauntlet to Captain Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'll take it from here. Well, how are you going to get through all that? And then all the women of Marvel to show up and it's like girl boss battle, like we'll help her, whatever else. I really didn't like that part of the movie simply because like Captain Marvel is essentially Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, awesome, get what you're doing, but she's Superman. She doesn't need Pepper Potts. No offense to Pepper Potts, doing a great job. But I was like, it's Captain Goddamn Marvel.
Yeah.
So I had a problem with that, but like this one, I was like, oh, breaking paradigms and whatever else. And like, I thought that was a nice little moment in this one where, plus, you know, it was a very nice, lovable, cute moment that I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And then like, oh yeah, also pack up people. We got to head further north than Calgary.
We got trappers on our ass.
You know what I hear? This is a sentence you'll never hear. You know what I've heard is nice this time of year? North of Calgary, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Edmonton.
It is nice in summer.
Sure. Yeah. What's north of Edmonton? And the answer is nothing.
Yeah.
It's
the great nothing.
Whenever I think about how cold Minnesota and Wisconsin are, every once in a while I'll look at how far north Edmonton is, and I'm just like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway, she is the new war chief, and she's like, we're getting the fuck out of here. Time to move on. Drawback shot, pan away, and we get a bigger visual, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Right? Is there another?
I don't think.
We don't go to the sky. I think I'm conflating Attack the Block that I watched last night.
No, I don't think there's anything else.
Okay.
Because they kind of go to credits. Yeah, at that point. Okay. Yep.
Okay. So, what did you think overall? I was trying to look up box office and I realized this came out on Hulu, so I'm not going to be able to.
Yeah, we don't know it. Before we get to there, so like we've been talking about the whole time, a lot of parallels between Predator and this film. Favorite or which final battle did you prefer? Because there were a lot of similarities there. There were traps laid. The initial plan didn't work, and then there was a secondary plan.
Oh, yeah, we kind of skipped over this. When the Predator's chasing her, she set up like spikes on a tree and mm-hmm. a bunch of other stuff. So she does like parkour shit.
Yeah.
So she injures the Predator to bait him into the trap. So I really enjoyed that a lot. And I like to think the final battle is a combination of her and her brother mm-hmm. plus this. This was new and interesting, so I really like this. The original Predator is so hard to beat.
It is. That was a fun one, too, because Arnold,
plus the big
Arnold
explosion.
Lays all the traps, and Arnold, you know, the Predator's, like, getting ready to go through the tunnel thing, and it's going to crush him, but he's too smart for that, and he goes around and...
But he has a backup plan.
Yep, gets squished by the tree.
Yeah, they have backup plans, which I really, really like. I mean, it's not... I think I like the original slightly better, but it's not that
They
far
were
off.
Both good, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe another thing I like about Predators with Adrian Brody is where Arnold uses strength and trickery, and this, it's trickery and speed.
Mm-hmm.
In Predators, Adrian Brody at the end, he wins, in quotes, by using speed and trickery. Mm. So his big thing is he's really fast and fit. He's not super duper strong, although he has a giant ass shotgun, which is really cool. But yeah, I think this one was really, really close. What struck me about this movie is how good the pacing was.
Yeah.
I never felt bored. Yeah. I never felt like, okay, when are we getting the next thing? I was never really tempted to look at my phone, which is becoming increasingly more rare.
Well, and sometimes, we've talked about this before, but sometimes we'll be watching a movie and it happens fairly regularly for me. And I'll think I've been watching it for 45 minutes or an hour. And I'm 12 minutes in.
Right,
and I'm
right.
Like, ooh, this is going to be a grind. Real grinder, Hoagie.
I know. I had a good sense of, like, I feel like I'm halfway through the movie. I am halfway through the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So that I really appreciated about it. It was visually awesome.
Yeah, it was really well shot.
So good.
I don't know anything about the director other than he directed 10 Cloverfield Lane or whatever, but I've never watched that franchise.
I've never have either, but I've heard that it's again,
some of those movies are highly regarded. Yeah.
I think overall just really, again, I don't know how many, what a lot of the actors, I'll have to look at actors, directors and other people worked on it, what their resumes are. Right.
Yeah.
But there was a level of polish and tightness to this movie that I love.
The two main characters I thought did great.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the other characters were just fodder for the...
Not a lot of characters.
Yeah, they were, you know, they were just waiting to be killed, essentially.
Yeah. Before we get to the trappers, I mean, you have War Chief.
Yeah.
Her mom, her sister, her brother, rather. Three or four other warriors.
Yeah, and that's it.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
And so it's a really concise, tight movie. I will say one thing I did neglect to mention earlier is when the Predator skins the snake, that is a callback again to the original Predator of the Predators just like to skin stuff, like the guys in the first movie.
Yeah, dangling from the tree, yeah.
This was Green Bay at the Fort Bragg. Just, I knew these men. That is not a... It's not a rescue mission. We're a goddamn hit squad for you. Mm-hmm. We got to take her with us. Fine, but you're your baggage. If you fall behind, that's your problem. I care about my men.
So, because I haven't seen the next... Oh, wait, Arnold wasn't in the next...
No, Arnold does not appear in any more Predators.
Okay. I was going to say, do those two fall in love?
I like to think so.
Yeah.
I like to think when they're both haunted in that helicopter ride back of the Predator, they just start fingering each other. Is that too far?
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, that's what love is. So.
Yeah.
I will say this. Predator 2 is a crazy fucking movie, as evidenced by the fact that Gary Busey's in it. But it's not what I call good.
Is that the one with Adrian Brody? No.
Okay. Sorry, Predator 2 is with Danny Glover and Gary Busey.
If I'm going to watch one other Predator movie, which one do you recommend?
Predators.
Okay.
Predators. That's Adrian Brody, Alice Braga, Larry Fishburne, Walton Goggins, so forth. The guy from That 70s Show, whose name I still can't remember.
Which is it, Danny Masterson?
Nope.
Which
not
guy
him.
Is it?
Not him. It's the other guy.
Wilmer Valderrama?
Nope. The main guy.
That's not Topher Grace.
Topher Grace.
Is it? Okay.
Thank you. And then also a bunch of everyone else you'll instantly recognize, like, oh, I've seen him before. So in my power rankings, it would be Predator.
Okay.
Prey. Predators.
Mm-hmm.
The Predator.
Predadi.
That is the Latin dative plural case, I believe. Conjugate the verb. Then it would probably be Predator, Alien versus Predator, Predators 2, and then AVP, Alien versus Predator, Requiem. That is all seven, and I believe that's the correct order, so fight me.
That's impressive.
Yeah, no, no, no. I've definitely spent my life as well spent. Oh, God. okay. This is a shorty, but I like it. We're doing well.
Thomas, I have just a couple facts that I'm reading through right now, so bear with me. We did a little bit of talking about Sari the dog, and our theory right now is that he was cloned from 400 years ago.
Right.
And he doesn't exist.
Yeah, I don't want... you can stop talking.
Tim, that is a fact.
But this dog had no previous...
Dino DNA!
This dog had no previous movie experience, was adopted specifically for the movie 2 months before shooting. She is a Carolina dog, which is a rare breed of wild dog that followed the first humans to cross the Bering Strait. So there was a little bit of legitimacy there.
Just from Mesopotamia, up near Vladivostok, across the Bering Strait, down through Canada.
The rest of them are very long, except for this one, where at some point, and I don't remember this immediately, but Naru says, do it, and you're going to do the Arnold voice better than I do.
Do it! Do it, come on!
Yeah, so obviously another throwback.
Yes.
That's all I got. The rest of them are very long.
Come on. I will say, though, just because we're talking about crossing the Bering Strait, it gives me the slightest window to plug again a great miniseries called Long Way Around, where Ewan McGregor and his buddy motorcycle around the globe. It took them like 4 months, and it is wild.
Yeah, I like that. It was a cool one.
Yes. Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so. I enjoyed the movie.
Excellent.
It's a little bit outside of my standard wheelhouse.
I was surprised you chose it.
And a little bit outside of the standard type of movie that I pick for this Whiskey Science Theater.
I'm glad you did it.
But I think it falls under the category because it's a sci-fi-ish movie.
You have spaceships.
Yeah, and I'm glad I picked it.
Yeah.
And there's overlap because obviously we did... Did we do both? I know we did Alien. Oh, did we do?
We did do Aliens.
We did Aliens Steve, as well. Yeah.
We did a commentary track.
Yep. So that was. Yes. I think we did. Yeah. So that was the overlap there. Mm-hmm. Same universe.
Yes. I've thought about maybe doing another Alien, but honestly, I don't want to because I don't really like the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. So when you were listing off all the Predator movies, there were some overlapping Alien movies. Yes, is there a whole nother wing in this Venn diagram of Alien-only movies besides Alien and Aliens?
Sure.
Okay, there are, besides the verse Predator.
There's Alien 3, also called Alien Cubed.
Oh, good.
There's Alien, I think it's called like Resurrection or something like that. Okay. It's where it doesn't matter. Who is the actress who shoplifted... Winona Ryder?
Yeah.
She's in it.
That's right.
Also, okay. Ron Perlman plays basketball. It's awkward.
That seems awkward, yeah.
And then there's...
who owns the rights to this universe of movies? Is it...
Alien, I thought, was Cameron, maybe?
Okay. Oh, that would make sense, yeah.
I don't know that Predator, maybe Warner Brothers or something?
Okay.
I don't really know. But there are four of the Ripley aliens.
Yeah.
And then there's... One, two, maybe three recent Alien. It's like Alien Covenant and Alien something else.
Oh, I remember those. I haven't seen them, but
they're not wonderful.
I remember them existing.
There's one I haven't seen it, but I know there's a scene in one movie where Michael Fassbender, who's the android, he plays two parts, android and then like lesser experienced version of the same android, where he's playing both parts in a scene. Where he's teaching the other one how to play the flute and talking about fingering a lot.
Oh.
And it's one of the most upsetting scenes I've ever seen in my life. God. Also, Danny McBride is in one of them for some reason.
Oh, that's weird.
So, I don't love them.
Okay.
But it's not for me. It's
fine. All right.
There's also Monsters vs. Aliens.
That is actually objectively a better movie.
In that movie, what are the monsters? Are we talking like Dracula? Or what are we talking here?
In Monsters vs. Aliens, Steve, please.
Go ahead. I have children. So it's a children's movie.
Ah, it's animated.
An animated movie.
Yeah.
where the monsters are a group of government employees almost. That,
that's so, by the way, I would never want to describe it that way, but you're right.
So aliens come in to take over, and they recruit this special unit of the armed forces to fight the aliens, and they are monsters.
Yeah, so one of them...
And the aliens are like typical xenomorphs that we're used to seeing, or...
The aliens, no.
So there's the giant lady whose story you follow. Mm-hmm. So woman gets... was about to get married, gets hit by a meteor. She grows to giant status.
I think it's like Witherspoon plays that part or some bullshit. Yeah, right. Like
someone, yeah. Someone you would recognize their voice. There's a roach. There's like a blob by
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen.
Huh. The Missing Link.
The Missing Link.
I didn't know this was a thing. How did you know this
Batman.
Was a thing?
Lego Batman. It's Will Arnett. How do I know? I have nieces and nephews.
That's a good cast.
Yeah,
and then
it's a quality movie.
And then there's like the doctor cockroach fly guy. Yeah,
and then a giant moth.
Okay,
I forgot about the giant moth. Oh, he's great.
Quality movies.
It's really good.
No, I didn't know this existed.
It's genuinely like if you and Tiff watched it, it genuinely make you laugh. Yeah. I mean, have cocktails or weed, but yes,
oh, it's fun. Yeah,
it's good.
That's part of the series and the genre, I think, too, the alien universe.
No, here's the thing. Nobody in this kid movies gets implanted in their chest with a parasitic sack worm. out of 10, what would you give it, Tim?
Oh, I enjoyed it. So in terms of watchability, I think I'm at an 8. Which means I would rewatch it.
I'm at an 8 as well. Yeah. It is a fantastic, a high recommend, I would say. The MVP for you?
Like you said, the pacing was good. It was just a very watchable movie in that the action scenes were very good, the pacing was good, and it was nice to look at. Not in terms of like attractive people, but the scenery was stunning.
I mean,
all the people weren't
a lot of slobs.
Were incredibly fit.
Yes. Fit as fuck.
We'll leave it at that.
Steve, can I get a rating on the 30-second trailer commercial you saw? What would you give it?
It seems short and to the point.
Okay, cool.
But also, I don't understand anything.
Okay. So out of 10, like what? Like 6.5 or?
6.8.
Okay.
I think my MVP would be the throwing axe on the tether return thing.
Going back to the inanimate object. Yes. That's smart.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird for me. Obviously, I'm a big proponent of the MVP can't be the main character.
Mm-hmm.
She's awesome. I'm not taking anything away. I'm going to go with the dog.
Yeah.
That dog does work.
He does, yeah.
I don't remember if he survives or not.
I think he does, but I don't remember seeing him in the final bog scene.
He kind of...
And I don't remember seeing him when she returns with the head either.
I feel like he was like a union role. He'd worked too much, so he got recast as invisible or something. Okay. Okay, I think all that's left is the next movie.
Yeah.
And boy, Tim, do I got a
steaming choice. Steaming pile of treats.
Oh, yeah. But I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Okay.
This one was fun because it was a very tight movie, and I loved it. And
was it better than you expected it to be going in?
So much better.
Me too.
I wasn't thinking it was going to be dog shit.
Yeah. But I didn't know what to expect, but I
honestly didn't either.
And I'm super glad that I did the work to watch the original Predator again. Yes. Because, you know, I had seen it, but it had been 15 years probably.
Yeah, that's probably a good move, too. I would have done that except I've seen Predator so many times.
You know it, and you retain movies better than I do.
Oh, yeah, when I go to sleep, I just play a movie in my mind. Yeah. For this, I was between two choices. One, a movie I hadn't seen and was like a big-budget space movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be coy about it. I'm interested at some point getting to... The Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence, I think it's Passengers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about it, but I occasionally come across, I'm like, I should watch that. But I don't know if it would be fun. And I'm in the mood for stupid, stupid, stupid fun.
All right.
And we're going to watch Moonfall.
Okay.
That has Halle Berry, nondescript white actor guy, who you could look up and you could say one of like five names, whatever. And Samwell Tarly from Game of Thrones, he's in there. But apparently, like, the moon is hollow and it's going to crash into the Earth, but there's also aliens. That's it. Moonfall. It's a Roland Emmerich movie, I believe.
Okay.
So we got Disaster, Batshittery, and it came out, the year it came out, it was in February, so you know it's good.
Man, they've got fun, whatever these would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, who are the titles?
We got Halle Berry, Patrick uh-huh. Wilson,
Patrick Wilson's the
John Bradley.
Yeah, but Patrick Wilson is the nondescript white guy. So
also starring Donald Sutherland.
Oh, sure, he's there.
I like Donald Sutherland.
So this is going to be more of the Geostorm type movie.
Yeah.
So
well, those are always fun.
They are fun, and I'm
Thomas. Because what was the point of Geostorm? Dutch boy.
The Dutch boy weather control system. Was on the Fritz.
I mean, it stuck with me for a reason. They said Dutch boy about 37 times.
I remember wanting to do a super clip where I pulled out every time they said Dutch boy, and I got 20 minutes into the movie. I'm like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah. I don't have enough tape for this.
It's the thing. Wait, we've got a highly complex satellite system that controls the weather of the entire Earth, and it's on the Fritz. So we have one man we can call with the technological expertise, Gerard Butler.
Obviously.
And his brother, that guy from 21, the card counting movie. And the president's Andy Garcia for some reason. It was a great, fun
yeah.
time.
Yeah, it was.
But I have high hopes for Moonfall.
Moonfall. Yeah. Nothing but Moonfall.
You're right. Adele sang the theme song, if I'm not mistaken.
They just dubbed over the one word like they do in rap songs on normal radio.
So I have right over there in the corner, I have this little canvas piece of art. That is, it's lines of color going from left to right. And it's available online. You might have seen it on like an Instagram or something. But it's basically a movie with each scene as a color, is a band of color. So from left to right, it's like, here's the movie. And that is Skyfall over there. I kind of want to, if possible, I would order Moonfall to put it up there just to be like, oh, what is this? I'm like, well, I had Skyfall up there, but I wanted a better movie. I want Moonfall. but yeah, so it's so we're gonna do it. So yeah. We've got Moonfall coming up eventually. Tommy, once he's out of his waking up at 1 a.m. to feed his newborn phase, we will be doing Firebirds at some point.
Okay,
I cannot remember what Eric and I are doing because I swear to high heaven he picked something and I can't remember what I picked back. It could matter less. I'll listen back and figure it out. But we got movies coming for you.
Yeah.
None of this makes sense. Why are you listening? But thank you.
I don't think anybody still is. But if you are, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And seek help. All right, Tim. Thank you so much. Steve, thank you for chipping in.
Okay.
I like your hat right now. It's bright orange, and it kind of looks like a big old nipple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see
but,
that.
But, you know, good for you. Good for you. So we're going to go watch the soccer game.
Yeah.
Or a football. Mm. And we'll see you next time for Moonfall.
In a world where
space
was king,
they are America's first line of defense.
One man
and
one man
had a dream
and found a way to bring good news to his people.
Same make, same model, new mission.
Whiskey, science,
theater.